League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
So here we go then, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Kings of Anglia Fan Social, the show where the Cowboy Army share their thoughts on all things town. And what a week it's been. Two incredible away games. Peterborough, 3-0. Barnsley, 3-0. Oh, what a time to be alive as a town fan going into a very big game this weekend. And I've got a special show this week. It's the New York City Special, the Big Apple. I'm joined by James and Nick making his debut. It's incredible, isn't it, this internet business? You can speak to people across the world, and these men watches your town from afar. Nick, let's bring you in first, my friend. We bumped into each other back at Portland Road, I think, last year when you came back to see family and co. You're in New York. I'm sure watching from afar, it's been amazing.
Absolutely. Hi, Russ. Yeah, thanks for having me on. Great to be here. Yeah, so, you know, I'm here live in New Jersey, work in New York, you know, watching Ipswich on iFollow. And yeah, it's just been an incredible season. Absolutely incredible. Just to see, you know, the team progress under McKenna. Incredible. So it's definitely a season to remember.
Definitely, mate. And we're going to move over to James. And you guys have been able to meet up and watch games in the flesh, which I'm sure has been great. But James, a lot of people will know your voice and your face because you were based, of course, in England. But now you've gone over to New York back in March. How's that been and how's things, my friend?
Yeah, things are very well. Thank you, Ross. Thanks for having me on again. I've been here 5 weeks now, and I don't think I've quite got the American accent yet. So I'm glad. I've met a lot of people, including Nick and a couple of the others that are based in New York City. That's been incredibly fun. But yeah, I'm settling in quite well. I think that having internet and social media and all my social presence is still there. Can continue. You can get the same kind of news. That's made the transition quite easy and quite straightforward. Something which would have been a lot more difficult maybe 10 years ago when kind of information wasn't as at your fingertips. Also, I'm working for the same company out here, so it's been a really easy transition. It's been really nice to meet all my colleagues as well. So just getting involved with the culture and the New York City lifestyle, and yeah, really enjoying it so far. And as for Ipswich Town, I'm sure we'll get onto that with some of the questions coming up. But wow, just wow. Since I've moved away, oh my word. I think one of the last game days I remember was that Bristol Rovers away game. That was probably my last one with you, Ross, because I did one with Regan when you were away. But I did one with you at Bristol Rovers away. And I think one of the lines I said was, if things don't change, this team won't even get in the playoffs. So how it's changed since then. And wow, I'm all here for it.
Yeah, I think a lot of us are like telling our previous selves off. I think Bloomers was saying that, I think after the Bristol Rovers game, he thought, yeah, that's that. But now we're all like, oh, what was I thinking? This team, Kieran McKenna, he knows what he's doing. This team is very, very good. And they've shown that, which is good. And yeah, we're going to get into that. But I wanted to get some insight from both of you, definitely Nick, on watching Ipswich Town from afar. I know we've got, you know, we're worldwide Ipswich Town fans. Of course, KOA Army is worldwide as well. I know there's so many people watching from Australia, you know, America in general, in Europe. I know we had the Swedes over recently, Norway, Germany. I can name all the countries because I'm sure there's a fan somewhere. China, Thailand, Japan. Sorry, I'm saying every country now. Shout out to all of you. Shout out to the people in Andorra. I think that's one. We've got one fan there when I looked on there. But anyway, Nick, some insight on, you know, you've been, of course, you were born, of course, in Suffolk.
Yep.
But you moved to New York a long time ago, and you've been following the town since then. But yeah, some insight on that, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I was born in the Harwich Manningtree area. So Ipswich Town fan, my whole life. Yeah, and I moved to New York. My job, just like James, my job brought me here in my early 20s, back in 2002. You can do the math. yeah, and so, you know, like James mentioned, back then, completely different, you know, landscape, digital landscape, no streaming service. Yeah, I mean, even you know, football websites, you know, were few and far between. Back then, I kind of had to really depend on, talking to my dad, talking to my uncle, you know, who were season ticket holders, who went to every single, you know, home game. You know, how did Ipswich do? You know, tell me about the game. So that was how I got my information back then. And then just also just you know. Talking about, you know, football in general. So when I first came here, it was the 2002 World Cup. And, you know, I think it was in that year, it was South Korea, Japan. I think it was co-hosted. And that particular World Cup, I'm sure people will remember, the US beat Portugal 3-2. And this is when, you know, Figo was still playing for Portugal. So it was a strong, strong team. And I mean, when you know, when the US beat Portugal, you know, it sent shockwaves through the, you know, the whole, you know, the football world. But I could have, I was in Manhattan. I could have walked down the street and just, you know, and talk to any kind of anyone on the street and say, hey, did you see the, did you hear about US being Portugal? And they wouldn't have had a clue. So jump ahead 20 or so years and it's completely changed. I mean, football here now is huge. I'm sure James, you know, you've kind of picked that up now. You know, Premier League is huge. It's shown on all the sort of major networks here. And so, you know, as sort of the years progressed, you know, there was the first streaming service I subscribed to was Santanta. They offered a streaming service. That was back in, I think, 2007, 2008, something like that, when Ipswich was still in the Championship. You know, very, very similar to iFollow, but I subscribed to Santanta for, you know, a few years. And then iFollow came along, which has been great. You know, I'm able to watch, you know, all the games. You know, I'm able to now, you know, when I talk to my dad, my uncle, you know, I you know, could talk about moments of the game, you know, and it's been great. And you know, I was telling you, Ross, you know, I obviously stream it on my laptop, but I use a Chromecast to stream it onto to watch it on my big TV. So it's really since these streaming services have come along, it's completely changed everything.
Yeah, definitely during, you know, lockdown and, you know, everything, you know, a lot of people, you know, and even the UK, of course, couldn't go to the games. And that was a massive improvement. And I know everyone's looking forward to next season because Town TV and everything with the club, and definitely you guys, I'm sure, are going to look forward to that. I want to quickly go over to you, James. How has it been adapting to watching games in the early, or it's not too early, is it? But it's still a time difference. There's 5 hours, I think, isn't it, from New York?
Yeah, 5 hours, yeah. So the 3 p.m. kickoffs are now 10 a.m. on a Saturday. So it's kind of wake up and really have some breakfast and get on with watching the game. Like wake up almost for team news, which you kind of miss a bit of the pre-game buzz. You're not nervous all day. You just wake up and it's time for the game. It does mean that after the game, you still have the whole day ahead to, well, since I've been here, mostly celebrate, which has been absolutely fantastic. But yeah, like waking up in the morning and watching the game is not too bad. I think the difficulty comes on these recent Tuesday night games where me and Nick both work full-time jobs. So if you can work 5 hours back from 7:45 p.m., you've got something in the middle of your afternoon, which means that it might have to be a sneaky work from home day. Sometimes you might have to take some time off, work around it, make it happen if possible, work around your meetings if you've got any on. And I've been very fortunate that I've been able to see both of the Tuesday night games because they've been amazing. But yeah, it's been it's been a little bit trickier for those evening games. What I would say about watching in New York though is, even though I'm far away, I've almost never felt more connected to this football club still. I know I haven't been away that long, but the social media coverage that everybody puts out, whether it's Kings of Anglia, Blue Monday podcast, like the official club, like the Town in Fives are spectacular. Like, I love watching them. The atmosphere and just the quality of the behind the scenes, the extended highlights, all of the coverage is absolutely amazing. And it just means that you can continue to feel really connected to this club, even if you're not like actually going to the games, which I know it's not a substitute for being at the games, but I still feel such a big close tie to this football club being away. And I speak to my colleagues and they're like, oh, I've never heard of Ipswich Town. And then I have to say, okay, they're two below the Premier League. And it's like, oh, is that the Championship? No, it's not the Championship. Championship is the second division. We're in League One. It's the third division. Oh, it's two above Wrexham. For some reason, they've heard of Wrexham. So that's very frustrating. That it's like, they've heard of Wrexham, but they haven't heard of Ipswich Town. But hey, Hollywood stars and Disney Plus, hey? That's what it does to you. But yeah, so it's been a bit of trying to talk football in the office has been a bit tricky because, yeah, if anybody does like football, it will be Premier League only. But I've at least had some people which have empathised with me and tried to understand how important it is to me, even if they don't fully get it. And they compare it to sports that they're passionate about, their basketball team, their American football team. So they can at least try and empathise with that.
Yeah, definitely. And that's another question, actually. I'm going to ask you this, Nick. Have you been, when you've been anywhere in America, you know, have you ever been spotted with Ipswich Town shirt and gone, they know who it is?
I have. Again, it was during another World Cup. I wasn't wearing an England shirt. I was wearing my Ipswich shirt. And I was actually spotted by another Brit. It was only us two Brits in this one bar. And he noticed right away. He said, oh, Ipswich fan. I actually forget where he was from, but he knew right away. And yes, very similar story to James. Like, you know, very few people, you know, when they find out I'm British, you know, they automatically assume I'm a Liverpool fan or a Manchester United fan. And when I say Ipswich, okay, what division they're in. So yeah, same experience as James.
Yeah,
it was actually fantastic. Actually, just to bring it back to what we did this weekend, because we haven't really talked about it in full. So Nick and I and two other people that live in New York City, Chris and Dennis, we met up actually in person and we watched the Peterborough game in Dennis's office. He was very kind that we could use his space, and we got Nick. You brought the bagels, didn't you?
Yep, bagels and donuts.
Got bagels, we had donuts, people had coffee, I had Coca-Cola. I felt very, very American in the room, but the football was all English and all behind Ipswich Town. But I think that's the first time that you'd met up, like the people in New York had met up. So like that's been really good for me as well, being new to the city, that there's other people that support Ipswich that are not too far away. And that's been really nice to kind of watch a game with fellow fans, because you can bring along people that are interested in football, but it's completely different when you're watching people that support your own club. So that was just really, yeah, really, really, a really good memory from my time here so far.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, you're not too far away to find some town fan somewhere. Big shout out to all the overseas fans out there. And maybe we'll do another special, like Australian special, whatever other country special. We'll get that sorted.
We have, there's a pretty thriving Ipswich Town fans in North America WhatsApp group. So if anybody is listening from North America and is not in that, then please reach out to one of us or reach out to Ross himself. He can put you in touch, because, yeah, you're very welcome to join. And yeah, it's just exactly the same chat as you'd get in any other Ipswich Town group. It just happens later on later on, because we're on a different schedule to people in the UK.
Yeah, because James, you were part, of course, of the Kings of Anglia group chat. And of course, that is, you know, all of us, we're putting, I'm sure it's like when we're putting messages in the morning, it's still like 3 a.m. for you. And you're probably asleep, fast asleep. And then you come and wake up, oh God, I've got 100 messages now. Just adjusted it. Just got adjusted.
Trying to keep track is more difficult now because you wake up in the morning to a swathe of messages. But I still appreciate it, and I love all those boys in that chat as well.
Definitely. Well, it's great to get some insight there, Nick and James. And let's talk then about the two away games that you mentioned. The Peterborough game, you guys watched that together, and then Tuesday night, Barnsley. What a night it was at Oakwell. 5,000 plus town fans. And as always, my favourite feature, one word to describe it, boys, just one word. Those two away games. Nick, two very good wins, 3 goals, no goals conceded, packed out away ends. Take it away.
Yeah. So for the Peterborough game, the one word that came to my mind was just professional. I just thought that they did such a professional job. Walton, just... mountain of a man, you know, making incredible saves when he needed to, and just, you know, deadly in front of goal, Burns, and then that sublime pass from Broadhead to Chaplin, and then that amazing, Freddie, on the turn. Was it on his chest and then he turned, incredible. But just overall, I thought a professional job. Everyone knew what they needed to do, and they got the job done. And then I guess similar to, the Barnsley game, also, could they call that professional job, but, just clinical, Broadhead with that header that snuck in, and then George Hurst he reminded me, when that goal went in, in American football, you have your running backs who use the stiff arm, to keep the opposing players at bay, and I just thought, George Hurst did exactly the same thing. He was just like, keeping the defenders away from him, and just the power in his shot was just incredible. Really exciting moment to watch. And then obviously, Chappers at the end, open goal. But again, just show composure and lobbed everyone into an empty net. So, incredible. So yeah, so for Barnsley, I came up with clinical.
Okay. Clinical and professional. I think they're good words, very good words indeed. James, what's your two words for these two away games?
Yeah, so I think for Saturday, sensational is the word that came to mind. I think that's both on the pitch and off the pitch, as I just mentioned before. Like we had a meet up to watch it, and it's always better when you're watching with other fans. But on the pitch, just when you kind of envisage how a game's going to go, that is kind of what you want. You go away from home, and you're just like, you restrict the opposition to a few shots. Walton was on top form. Like, that would be sensational as a word to just describe him in general. But all the town lads pulling in the same direction, working so hard. Hurst, like, absolutely running his absolute socks off. Absolutely incredible. Just in general, I think both these games couldn't have gone better than what they have gone, and it's just, that doesn't happen very often, and it is just, this team is something really good, and we're seeing it pretty much, I would say, in top gear now almost. And I just, I'm almost speechless in like some of the football that we've played, and we haven't been on top in both of these games. We haven't been on top for all of the game. But probably to Nick's point, it's been such a professional performance to be able to manage games. There's been a bit of S-housery at certain times when we've needed to slow the game down. I think I remember on Saturday, there was a time of maybe 50-something minutes, and like two players went down at exactly the same time. I think Burns was one of them. Can't remember one of the other ones. It might have been in a completely different point of the game. It might have actually just been before half time. But there was a time in that Peterborough game where two players went down, and you just like, yeah, like there's been a memo. It's just like if the opposition is having a little bit of momentum, then we need to slow that game up. And that's exactly what they did. And then they had to both go off, but they both came on like before there'd been even any play that had gone on. So it's just, we're just thinking of those little things which seem to be really making the difference and kind of just doing what other teams have done to us over quite a lot of the season and seasons gone by. And from that Saturday performance, I just think, yeah, just sensational all round. And moving on to Tuesday a little bit, and my one word to describe Tuesday, I was thinking of this, and probably what I thought afterwards is a bit overwhelming, in all honesty, in a good way, to be in the position that we're in, to be 4 points clear of third place with two games to go, to be within touching distance, like physical one game touching distance of moving up a league. That's all of that is a bit overwhelming, and not a feeling that anybody around my age, probably anyone under 30, can really remember with clarity, because you would have been, you know, under 10 years old when we last had a chance to go up to a league in one, like with one game of the playoff final in 2000. So yeah, just a lot of emotions going on, and just overwhelming in the post game. And once again, like those 5,000 fans going up on a Tuesday night, I honestly have so much respect for every single person, because you wouldn't be able to get a train back to Ipswich after the game. Like, you have to probably take your whole day off Tuesday, or maybe at least a half a day, to get up there. You have to share lifts. You have to get there early enough to get down the pub if you're so inclined to do that. So it's an absolutely monumental effort from all those fans, and like they deserve everything. We deserve everything. Like, if it does come good in these next two games, but like the fan base is incredible, and yeah, it's just a bit overwhelming to basically put it all into perspective, that what we can potentially achieve within the next 10 days.
Yeah. We know we had, you know, this fan base is massive, but that on Tuesday night just impressed me even more. And I had goosebumps watching from afar, because in the first half, I was the other end, you know, taking pictures of our attack. And I just remember just looking up and going, over there is 5,000 Ipswich Town fans. It just blew. And, you know, the chants, Blue Army, and just, it's just incredible. And big shout out to everyone who did go. And as you said, James, you know, Tuesday night games always tricky when they are away from home, trains and trying to get transport. So yeah, big shout out to all of you. I know there's a few people, I think they decided to, maybe I won't go to work tomorrow because I want to enjoy this. So, but no, it was great. It was, great atmosphere. And it's what we deserve after, yeah, as James said, myself included, I have not seen a very good Ipswich Town side for a very long time, and much success. So, yeah, looking forward to this weekend, and we'll get on to that shortly. But, Nick, let's talk about George Hurst, because I think, we can give praise to a lot of the players, all the players this season, Kieran McKenna included. But I wanted to sort of put a spotlight on George Hurst a little bit, because he has been fantastic since signing in January, and he's a lone player. Scored a very good goal on Tuesday, probably up there for me as one of the top goals of the season, that one. The goal of the season vote is going to be very tricky this year. Some really good contenders. George Hurst could probably have two or three, because the goal at Bolton was good as well. But permanent deal, that will be a talking point. Leicester at the moment, they're fighting relegation, but George Hurst would be great, wouldn't he, permanently?
I agree, 100%. Absolutely. You know, I think you know, Hurst, you know, he brings that you know, that strong physicality. You know, he's intimidating. You know, he's a big guy. You know, when you, you know, he's played against Bolton and the Barnsley defenses, and you can see he's a big guy, and you know, causes them a lot of problems, and just has scored some sublime goals. You know, the goals against Bolton, amazing, and then you know, Tuesday night. Just the power. So I think absolutely we need to sign him. He just brings not only goals, but just his work off the ball. His work rate. Runs his socks off. I can absolutely see him. Fitting into future sides. Yeah, 100%. So, Mark Ashton, please, let's make it happen.
Yeah, I think Mike, who said on the game day, I think when we saw, it was John, good old John Watson, big shout out to the King of the North. Mark Ashton was walking along and John went, get on the phone to Leicester, sign him up. But James, he's a player that Kieran McKenna and co have been chasing for a while. I think they wanted him in the summer, but he went to Blackburn in the end and didn't play much for them. I think at the time they had, Brenton Diaz scoring the goals and other players scoring the goals. So he was really didn't have a chance there, but he's come here. First few games, he had to sort of work his way into the team, but he has been fantastic. Good, big Fred though, still doing well himself, scoring goals as well. But
of course.
George Hurst,
I was actually going to mention that point because it's interesting because first, I was very sceptical when he came in at first because we wanted him in the summer and he wasn't interested. Fair play, you get a championship move. I think you'd always prioritise that over Ipswich. But yeah, I don't think he was particularly fussed. Just wanted to play at the highest level he can, which I completely understand in a player. Second of all, when he came in January, he was like, I'm here for these months and then I'm going back to Leicester, kind of in his interview. Maybe not those words exactly, maybe that's being a bit harsh, but that's kind of what I took out of his interview. He was basically like, yeah, I'm here to play some football and then I'll return to my parent club. So there's a question of whether he would actually want to be here past the summer. But there's absolutely no mistaking that he's come in and he seems to have bought into the McKenna philosophy of how we play. And he's really seems to have been coached into a role which he can really thrive in. So I'm hoping that for all of the pre-talk and for maybe whether he did want to be here, and it sounded like we had to work quite hard to get him here. I really hope that we've been able to show that with the team spirit, with the quality of the coaching that you get, the professional setup. And Ipswich is only an hour from London. So like quite a lot of the time people say, oh, it's not a very desirable place to come because you can move to a team near Manchester or you could one of the big North cities or you could move to a London team. But Ipswich is only an hour away and they don't really get that much time off anyway. So it's not really a bad place to be, to be honest. And especially with the quality of the setup that we seem to be getting now, I think we'd rival a lot of championship sides for kind of our process, methodology, coaching quality and the like. So hopefully that's a big draw and hopefully he'd be persuaded to come here. You've obviously got the flip side of that, is that Leicester would probably want to hold us over a barrel if we wanted to sign him now. They might be coming down to the championship themselves. So they might see, hey, a guy that's scored goals in League One, let's try him out. So it's not going to be an easy deal unless there's been a pre-agreement, which also wouldn't completely shock me because we have pre-agreements in place a bit more often these days under the new management and ownership. But I think Ipswich would have to point to the fact that he played in the championship and he didn't score many goals. So, you can't be charging 3, 4, 5 million for somebody that's never scored goals in this league. So I reckon it could be one that drags on all summer if Ipswich did want to get in. I don't think it's going to be an easy deal either way. Potentially, it would be an easier deal if Leicester stay in the Premier League because I think he would be surplus to requirements there. But definitely, if they come down to Championship, there would need to be serious negotiations going through. And I don't think wages would be a problem. I think Ipswich pay quite well on the wages. And so it'd be down to a case of, would Leicester be willing to sell for a price that Ipswich feel is reasonable? And would George Hurst want to play for Ipswich Town in whatever league we're in?
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, there's no chance of us getting him if we're in League One. So just to put that option out there, like I'd love to sign him on a permanent deal, but this is all on the caveat that we do get promoted. If we don't get promoted, he won't be signing.
Yeah, because he's just signed a new deal with Leicester before he went out on loan to Blackburn. He signed a new deal until 2025, so he's contracted for 2 more years. But we shall wait and see, Ledger. It's always just good to have these discussions, debate on players, definitely loan players. In the past, we had no chance to sign them, but we got Christian Walton on a permanent deal. Who else did we get on a permanent deal? I should have put this on my notes. There's another player. I swear we got him after being on loan. Let's move on because I'm going to be here for a while. So let's move on. Nick, is there any other notes you want to mention from the Barnsley-Peterborough game or should we move on?
No, I'm happy to move on.
Okay, then. Easy done. There we go. Strike then. It's time for the strike. It's quiz. This is Nick's debut on the strike. James has had many appearances on this. I think it's been a mixed bag, I think, in your history.
I've won one strike and it was the most recent strike I did. So I'm on 100% record for the I'm on a one win streak. Let's put it that way.
Okay, then. One win streak then, Nick. Let's see if you can beat that record. We've got 4 questions plus a tiebreaker as always. Question one is on a player from America, Jerry Baker from the 60s. He was born in New York. I thought I'd do a nice little connection, but he's also had a birthday in April, so it linked up perfectly to my system that I use.
If you have when's his birthday?
He's already had his birthday in April, but I think it was...
Yeah, so have I.
Yeah, yes, yes. 11th of April.
Ah, a bit earlier than me. Oh, sorry. His birthday is earlier than mine.
Okay. He did sadly pass away back in 2013, but big up, Jerry. That's a nice little connection. He was born in New Rochelle, New York. You heard of it? You've been there?
Yep, I know it. Yeah, just north of the city, I think.
Okay. The question I was going to do is I was going to look at... I don't know how New York works and states and stuff. I was going to try to find like 3 different options. I was being an idiot of how it works over there. Like, because New Rochelle, is that a state or what is it?
No, it's a town. I think it's on the... Don't quote me, but I think it's in Westchester County, which is just north of Manhattan. Okay. So it's in New York State.
We're going to do some basic knowledge here. There's New York City. That's a city. But also there's a state that's called New York. So there's other towns and cities in New York that's not New York City. So like at the very far north, they've got like the town Buffalo. This is like another fairly big town. Awesome. That's probably a city, isn't it, Nick? Buffalo. New York is huge.
Yes.
Absolutely huge. New York State, is absolutely huge.
Yeah. Okay, but yeah, I didn't go too deep in it. I just thought I'll give up. I'm gonna keep it simple. How many goals did he score? 151 games.
Hey, what years did he play for us? Can you give us that?
In the 60s. So I think he wouldn't have played under Sir Ralph Ramsey. So I think 62.
Okay.
I haven't got it at hand, but he played for 4 seasons: 62, 63, and then the rest.
That was Sir Ralph for a bit.
Yeah, actually, yeah, for maybe for a bit, because yeah, because
we won the league in 62, and then he joined England in after that. So
63, 64 was his first season. So no, he actually didn't play under him. It was actually Jack Milbourn, and we got relegated that season. So he would have scored most of his goals in the Division 2.
Okay,
but he's a striker. So there we go. There's a striker. He's a striker. I'll give you that as well. Just give you that. 151 games. How many goals did he score for Town? If anybody listening who was alive to see him play, let us know. What was he like as a player?
Dad would remember.
Yeah. Yeah, possibly. Shout out to your dad. He also played for Man City, Hibernian, Margate. Anyway. Correct answer gets the point. If you get a bang on, actually, of course, you get double the points. But James, take it away.
Okay, I have put 48 goals.
So I also had 48 goals.
No.
I swear.
I believe Nick. Because he was prepared. No one's got a bang on. It's 66.
Oh, he was prolific.
Pretty good. Yeah, what's that?
Like one every two and a bit games?
Yeah, not too bad. I'll just give you both the point because you're...
Both on one,
so it just doesn't really give either of you advantage. It just gives you the point. Question two is on another striker, not from New York. It's Joe Garner. Has his birthday this month. So happy birthday to Joe from whenever it was. But what is his middle name? Is it Alan, David, or Michael? Joe Garner, back at Carlisle United now, Joe. Could be get Carlisle in the playoffs, aren't they, in League Two? So please get promoted to Ham, because I don't want to go to Carlisle on a Tuesday night, because that's what probably likely happened if we had him in League One. It'd be on a stupid Tuesday night. 12th of April, so he's just the day after good old Jerry.
Oh, so, nice.
Yeah. Take it away. All right.
Nick, do you want to go first this time?
Yeah, I'll go first. All right. I think it's Joe Allen Garner.
And I think it's Joe David Garner.
Of course, it's Joseph, if you want to go to his Christian name or whatever, his big name. But his middle name is Alan.
Ooh. It
gets the point. I didn't mention this at the start. Of course, everybody listening, get involved. Let us know how you get on. Hope you're enjoying this on your journey. Maybe journey to Portland Road. You know, if you've got to travel a little way and this is something for you to listen to, hope you're having a good time and enjoy the day. Question three is on Guran Endor, who was on loan at Town back in the 2012 season, I think. 2011-12 season, 2012-13 season. I know he played under Jim. Not Jim. Paul Jewell, and then Mick McCarthy came in.
Was it Guran Endor that I'm sure there was an Ipswich Town player that came out, like it came out later that he was actually way older than he was. Yes. Was it him?
It was him, yeah.
So when he was playing for us, like what was he in his like mid 30s, and everybody thought he was in his mid 20s or something like that.
Possibly, yeah. Yeah, he's 39 now. He had his birthday 24th of April, so he's only just
39 real age or 39.
Real age, apparently. I don't know.
Okay,
could be 49, but we'll go from there. But he was on loan at Town. From which French club? Was it Montpellier, Saint-Étienne, or Toulouse? Do you know what I was surprised to see? Saint-Étienne were relegated last year from the top flight of France, French football. I was surprised about that.
Whoa!
And I was looking at my options of teams. I was like, wow. Because you think we they've been a top flight team for a long time. We played them in the UEFA Cup in that historic, you know, winning run.
I realise I'm rubbish. Every time we do this game, I'm so bad.
I mean, just forget, don't you? Like you remember these players, some of these players, and then you go, oh, I know the answer, but yeah. Because he had a few loan spells when he was at this club. I think he went to Birmingham as well.
Okay.
Went to Spain.
All right.
You're up, James.
Montpellier.
Okay.
I went with Toulouse.
Ooh, you're both wrong. It is Saint-Étienne.
I think you gave too much away in that question. I was about to put Saint-Étienne. I thought you'd give me a double bluff, because why would you talk about Saint-Étienne when you're the question? And then I thought in my head, oh well, if he talk, how? Why would he know that Saint-Étienne got relegated if he hasn't been searching up Saint-Étienne? So I should have just gone with my instincts and gone for Saint-Étienne. He threw me a curveball.
Yeah, brought my poker face there. To be fair, when I was saying that, I was like, oh, I could have given it away, but then I went, oh well, I did research in all three clubs, so I just wanted to. But it's 2-1. Going into the final question, and of course, it's going to be on Exeter City. As they travelled to Portland Road this weekend. The last time we played Exeter City at Portland Road was back in 1998. We won 5-1 in the first round of the League Cup. But this isn't a Town question. This is actually who won the trophy that season. Was it Spurs, Leicester or Newcastle? We beat them. There was a two-legged affair back then in the League Cup. We played Exeter at their place. We drew 1-1 and we won 5-1. Then the next round we lost against Luton over two legs. Who won the League Cup that year? Was it Spurs, Leicester or Newcastle? I'm going to quickly get up the final just to bring some more stats. I was 2 years old when we played this game. So
Russ, you make me feel so old.
I don't make James feel old because I'm sure he was very much similar age to that.
Yeah, four years old.
Yeah, I already told you I was in my early 20s when I moved to New York in 2002. So
there you go.
Looking good, Nick. Looking good.
Right. Go on, Nick.
All right. Newcastle.
Oh, that's so disappointing. I also put Newcastle.
Can you remember Newcastle haven't won a title in like since the 60s?
Well, no, I knew Spurs had definitely not won anything in ages, but I wasn't sure about Newcastle. But okay, Leicester it is then.
It's actually Spurs.
Wow, really? Oh my word! I thought Spurs keep going on about how they haven't won anything in forever.
Well, the League Cup. Would they count the League Cup? It's still like
I think you'd count it if you hadn't won anything in so long.
Yeah. Oh, they won it in 2008, didn't they, or stuff like that? I think that's the last time they've won a trophy was back then.
Okay.
They won it back in 99, beating Leicester in the final. 1-0, a 90-minute goal from Allan Nielsen, the Danish player. I think Newcastle, I mentioned Newcastle because I just decided to pick Newcastle as an option. But Man United got knocked out in the semis, quarters by Tottenham. But Sunderland and Wimbledon got to the semis that year. But yeah, they beat them. But yeah, it was a 1-0 win. There we go. So Nick has won. There we go. But as always, tiebreaker time if Nick wants to gamble.
Let's do it. Yeah, why not?
Okay, then. Of course, James needs to get it bang on to get the win. Now, how many goals have Town scored in 22 league games at Portman Road this season? League games, 22 goals. Best of luck, James.
That's quite a good one. Yeah. When we went to Cambridge away with some of my friends, we took it in turns to name a result from the season. And between the three of us, we got every single result of the season. So if I actually had enough time in this quiz, I would be able to tell you how many goals Ipswich has scored in 22 league games. But I know I just have to make up an answer, which I think is approximately right, in the next 20 seconds.
Yes. But, you know, it's not a surprise, really, to everybody. But like the goals we've conceded is nothing. I'm going to give you that. 13 goals we've conceded. That's at Portman Road, which is madness. Don't know how much is away. I ain't got the stat on
that. No, that's too high. Sorry,
statistic.
Yeah, of course, Nick. Have a go as well. Let's see if you could get a bang on. You get double the points. You'll be 4-1 up. But yeah, 13 goals conceded. But how many goals have we scored?
All right, I've got my number.
Okay,
I'm going with 58 home goals.
Okay.
Nick, are you guessing or not?
Yep. I'm going to go with double.
44. Okay.
We scored 90-something goals.
Yep.
Yeah, 93 goals we've scored.
Yeah.
So, what was your original answer, James? And you said you were...
On the other side of the paper, I have 64. Okay. But I thought that's slightly too high because that means... We've only scored 30-something goals away and we've just had 2-3-0 wins as well. So I'm sticking with my 58. That's my guess.
The correct answer is 54.
Ooh, okay. Not bad.
That's good effort. Good effort.
So is it 54 at home and 40 away? Is it 40? No, 42.
39 away.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, we're on slightly lower than I thought we were then. 90, what are we on? 90?
93
goals. 93 goals. 93 goals. Okay. Nice.
Trying to get me to do maths.
Just making sure.
My headache now.
Just knowing what the challenge is for the next two games. No. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Just one win, please.
Yes. But Nick, you've won. The strike on your first attempt of ended James' winning run. Thoughts?
I'd like to thank my... truth be told, a lot of those answers were complete shots in the dark. So beginner's luck. I've been down to beginner's luck. Yeah. But still very, very honored.
You're going to be on the Hall of Fame. I'll have to do that at some stage. The winners of the strike. We've done a lot of strikes in the past, done maybe too many, but you're going to be part of that now. James, you're part of that as well. So do not worry. You've won a strike. So it's all good. I have to find out if there's somebody who's been on the pod who's never actually won the strike, and that'll be a sad day for them if they have. But I hope everyone enjoyed at home. And as James said, two big games to go. First up this weekend, Exeter City, who are, in quotes, on the beach. They've got nothing to play for. But when I was speaking to the Meet the Oppo guy for the series, John Beer, who does My New Football Club podcast covering Exeter City, a very good podcast. If you haven't actually listened to it, check it out. And he said he doesn't think the players will be on the beach. I think they'll be professional. Gary Caldwell is a very good manager who, you know, will make sure he wants to get finishing as high as possible. But Nick, it's going to be a party at Portland Road because it's been a fantastic season. You know, the last game, home game of the season, hopefully. But how are you feeling going into this one?
I feel really good. I think Ipswich will finish the job. I think Exeter, you know, they lost their last five, and we beat them, I think, 2-0 in the reverse fixture. But yeah, I think Ipswich, you know, have such momentum. Just the atmosphere alone in Portland Road is just going to be electric. And I think that the players will deliver. I think I'm going for a, if we're doing score predictions, I think, a solid 4-0.
Ooh, so we're getting close to that 100 goals, 100 points. At the start of the season, when I heard that, I thought, no, everyone, shut up. Don't do that. But now I'm getting to a point where, do you know what? I'm going to allow it because it's just been amazing this season. Of course, we've had ups and downs, but for the first time in a very long time, we're actually fighting for something. James, how are you feeling? You're nice little people behind the curtain here. You're going to be traveling over to England. When we finish this podcast, when it goes out, you're probably in the air flying back for the game.
Yeah, it was not an easy decision to make, in all honesty. It obviously comes with significant expense and time commitment as well. We're currently on Thursday lunchtime here in the USA. I'm taking Thursday afternoon off and Friday off. Flying is not easy, just in general. But I was weighing it up in my head. One of my friends managed to secure a ticket before they sold out for me and said, "Oh, if you want it, then it's yours." And I said, "Oh, probably not going to be there, but thank you anyway." And then before Tuesday's game with Barnsley, I kind of made my mind up and I was like, if we could guarantee going up on Saturday with a win, then I personally felt that I wanted to make the effort to come back if I could. So we all know how the Barnsley game went and I kept to my promise and I booked some flights over. And I am quite fortunate to be able to do that. I know not everybody would be able to do that in their position. But I kind of thought that that's the one place I really want to be on Saturday. And if you can't spend your money on the things that you love, then what's the point of doing the work that I do, or what's the point of doing the job that you do? So I thought that, as you said, it's going to be a huge celebration and party. Pre-match, it's going to be such a fantastic atmosphere. I'll get to see all my friends and family as well. So even if we don't win, it's not a wasted trip because I get to see all my friends and family. I had tickets for the Euro semi-final, England versus Denmark last year. And I got COVID, so I had to sell the ticket. And knowing the feeling of just watching it on TV versus what it would have been like in the stadium, I felt absolutely gutted. And I like England, but I absolutely love Ipswich Town. So I kind of thought that I knew I would personally regret it, because in my whole supporting life of watching Ipswich Town, there's not been a chance where you've had one game where if you win that game, you go up to the next league. as I said but earlier on, I was six in 2000. So, yeah, I really wanted to be here if possible. And win, lose, or draw, I'm going to have a good time. But if we win, it's just going to be absolutely spectacular. And it will be a day I will remember for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I think anyone who's there, who's been able to get a ticket, enjoy the day. Just to think back on the bad times and look forward to the future. And yeah, hopefully we're going to be a championship side next time we record.
Me and thousands and thousands of other Ipswich Town fans that have travelled the UK like over the last decade, like as a decade of me being an adult, basically. I've travelled, like some people are a lot more than me that have travelled a lot more than me, but like we've been to absolutely diabolical performances. We've most people probably would have booed the team off the pitch at some point in the last decade, even if you don't do it regularly. Most people would have said that we've seen a lot of unacceptable performances, a lot of dire football, a lot of boring football, times that you haven't wanted to go, but you still have gone. And I think part of supporting a football club is that if you can experience the lows, then it makes the highs even better. So like Ipswich Town fans will duly celebrate it. And people will complain like, oh, it's League One, like, why are you celebrating getting out of League One? But we've been so bereft of like really, really good things in the last, in the last decade that everybody will have full right to celebrate in a responsible way, of course, but in like the way that they wish, because we have been through those bad times and it just makes the good times even sweeter. So I really hope for the sake of the town that we can finish it off at home on Saturday. And if not, second best prize is to finish it off next Sunday. But let's just all hope that it doesn't come to that.
Yeah, one massive thing I'm looking forward to is the town itself going to be just buzzing pre-match. You know, I'm sure the businesses and just the local pubs and everything, they're just going to enjoy the day as well, because they're not going to have it's going to be a packed Ipswich Town Centre and everyone just going to enjoy the day. So, as I said, enjoy it. Nick, unfortunately, you're going to be not going to be able to get to the game, but I'm sure you're going to be watching from afar. I'm sure, like many other people who are listening, if you are still going to be watching from afar, but as James said, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people, you know, flying in and coming in from wherever to watch the game. But I'm sure it's, you know, watching on iFollow, wherever you're going to be watching, my friend, I'm sure you're going to be enjoying it.
Definitely. Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to be sitting in front of the TV early. Make sure that I don't have anyone disturbing me. I've got two young kids, so I'll make sure they're occupied. It's going to be an amazing atmosphere, like I said. I'll be here. I'm sure I'll get some sense of what it's like. Watching iFollow. It's a special season.
We've already talked about meeting up for beers in the postseason, haven't we? So yes. fingers crossed it's beers that is celebrating promotion.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Love to hear that, boys. I'm sure that's going to be like a lot of people. As you said, like a generational thing as well. I'm sure there's a lot of maybe families who have got people who saw the Division One title team, the UEFA Cup, FA Cup, and they said it's League One, but we've had four very dire seasons at this sort of, this time of the season. This is normally like what I said last year, sadly, I said, oh, here we go, deadest or dead rubbers. But this year, we've got something to play for and we're one win away for promotion, boys and girls, and everyone listening. It's going to be, I can't wait for it. So bring it on. Enjoy the day. Nick, James, it's been a pleasure.
Just quickly, I'm going for a squeaky, squeaky, squeaky 2-1 victory.
Oh, 2-1? I don't know if I can take that, James. I don't think no one can take that. How's it going to go? Play by play.
It's Ipswich Town. We've done things surprisingly easy in these last two away games, but for those people watching the Port Vale game, there was some people in the ground were getting a little bit worried. So I think it'll be 2-1. I think we'll take the lead, we'll concede, and then we'll get a winner, and it will be absolute pandemonium.
I think Stu asked this on the main flagship show about who would you want to score the goal to clinch promotion. I'm just putting you on the spot here, boys. I didn't put it part of the pod plan, but it just came to my mind. Dumball?
Yeah.
Because of the picture of the
patient? Because I have a picture of Dumball and I'm running into the photo and it's just with Thomas Seggins and his wife Katie, we have a little ongoing joke now that every time Dumball comes onto the pitch, I send them a photo of me with the picture of Dumball and like it crashing it their photo and him like coming on for his cameo at the end of the game. So I don't think if if it's 1-1, it won't be Dumball that's coming on to change the game. Unfortunately, it will be probably if we're 3-0 up, but. It'd be so funny if it was Dumball. No, but in all seriousness, actually, I read the article on the EADT with Wolfenden, and just him speaking so honestly about the club, and you know he's a fan and he grew up in the area. Like someone like that scoring the winning goal would be that's what every single fan of that stadium dreams of. Like. Playing for their club and scoring goals for their club. I mean, he's a defender, so maybe he didn't quite dream of that every day. But if one of the local lads, Park is the same. Like, if one of the local lads could get a winner, then oh my god, they would like that. That'd be a core memory in their memory for the rest of their careers.
Yeah, that is definitely
the same. Harry Clark scoring the winner would be just cherry on top.
Yeah, like, I think Stu mentioned once again on the flagship show, like he's honestly, his shots are so hard and powerful and they would break the net, definitely the Barnsley game. The amount of times he could have, scored. But yeah, for him, he's going to be loving if he goes and scores and that would be unbelievable scenes. But hopefully it doesn't go down to the, like Dunitrich thing. We're like, it's 0-0 needing to find a late goal. But we shall
see. You know what? Sometimes they say, just take what you get, and if that full time whistle blows and we've won, you might have to put yourself through hell. But I'm going to take it.
Yeah,
like I'm taking it and running. Like it's just that game where it's like it's not the most important. The most important thing is not the important. It's not the performance now. It's just get that win. Just get it. However it comes. It would be great if it's easy and we're all partying in the stands on the 60th minute. But like. Just sometimes you just got to do it the hard way, and who knows what's going to happen. But as long as we get that win, then everybody will be absolutely through the roof, and the town of Ipswich is going to have a big party.
I hate to say this now, but if say we got an early goal and we're 1-0 up, and there is partying, and we are going up, and then next to my equaliser, like oh no, they score, and it's like oh no. Let's maybe. Keep it calm for a little bit when we know we're definitely going on our way and then just enjoy it. Bloody enjoy it. Do you know what? Someone's already said this multiple times, but Junoid Dinashian, what if he was the man who scored his first ever town goal and he scores it and the clinch promotion, that will be unbelievable. Although
he comes on as defensive cover now. Yeah, so it's almost like you wouldn't bring him on as an attacking sub. Just the way this team seems to line up in the last few weeks, he's more of the solidify the lead rather than we're pushing for a winner. But, you know, funny things happen in the last few games of the season. We might just be chucking on players left, right and centre if we need a goal. So if just for something different, you never know how it's going to pan out.
Well, as you know, some people say, 2-0 is always not the greatest scoreline. So maybe, when we're 2-0 up and bring Janoi on and he makes it 3 and that is it. He's clinched promotion for us. So there we go.
Is that what you count? So it's the last goal that's counter for clinching?
Yeah. Yeah, you just never know. 2-0 is never always, clear scoreline. So if it's the final goal of the game, then that's what I'm saying. Janoi, if it's someone else, like, we won it earlier. But good old Janoi, he deserves it. Nick, it's been a pleasure having you on. Any other business, my friend?
Yeah, I just want to say quickly, I've already mentioned this, it's been a magical season. And it's been, for me personally, it's been even more special because, of the KOA army, yourself, Ross, Mark, Andy, Stu, I just want to give a big shout out to all you guys, the entire KOA army. The first thing I do after every game is look out for the game day video on YouTube. Because, yeah, I mean, up until recently, there's been no one to talk to about the game and how exciting it's been. And so, yeah, it's like, even though I don't know a lot of people personally, it's like listening to my mates, you know, and it's really become like that. And now we have, you know, now I have the KOA Army in New York, which is fantastic. So I'm looking forward to watching many more games with James, with Chris, with Dennis. Hopefully others will join us. Yeah, so, you know, thank you to you, Ross, and to everyone, the entire KOA Army, for making this this season even more special.
Top man, Nick. Thanks for that. And yeah, big shout out to anybody out there who is in the North American, you know, if you want to get connected with James or Nick and myself, just to get involved, if you are in America somewhere and you want to go and watch the games or just be part of a community, go there. And of course, as always, KOA Army, we continue to grow. We've got merch now. So get the badge in and all that. So yeah, but James, any other business from yourself?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention a couple of things around Portman Road on Saturday, probably. So Mike from the KOA Army is doing his, he's shaving his head. And when he announced this, I think it's an incredible initiative. It's for the, for Mark Stewart's motor neuron disease charity. But when he announced it as a promotion head shave. And I thought, that is incredibly bold of you, Mike, to have that much faith in this Ipswich Town team, that probably a month out from the end of the season, or at least a few weeks, you're announcing it as a promotion head shave. But here we are, and he's doing it in the fan zone on Saturday, I believe.
1:30.
So before he's doing it, before we get promoted, that's how much confidence that man has. Even though he doesn't say, even though on game day he's maybe a little bit reserved about some of our performances. I think on the last one he said, "Oh yeah, it's all right," but he is he's going through with it. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing some videos of that. And I think if we do get promoted on Saturday, then everybody should chuck him a few more pennies, because I think he well deserves it. So well done, Mike, on that initiative. And then the second thing I'll mention as well, New Turnstile Blues is out, which is they've got a great team behind that, with Matt Makin from the KOA Army, and there's loads of other great writers that are involved in that. So I think it's still £1, which is absolutely incredible value. Go and get it. Like, it could be a memento. Like, you need, I'm going to be buying all kinds of stuff on Saturday, because like, if that is the day we go up, if big if, then I want the EADT print copy. I want the program from the day. I want Turnstile Blues. I'll be taking loads of photos, and I just hope that'll be a memorable day. And then you can look back at it later and say, yeah, this is the stuff from the day that my first promotion as an adult, let's put it that way. But yeah, there's my two little any other businesses.
Nice one. Yeah, big shout out to Mike, who's doing the head shave. So that is in the fan zone at 1:30. Of course, there's always going to be, I think, Town fans going to be queuing up to see the coach come in as well, to sort of like, you just sort of, you know, getting ready for the game. So I think there's going to be a lot of people there celebrating that.
Yeah, blue action just in general, like this season, last season, just the banners that they put out, the kind of the initiatives they put together, like, so it's been so good. We've obviously got that they're moving to the Cobblestand next year to try and improve the atmosphere. I'm really excited to see how that goes. Like, just like top work from all of them. Like, they have the same love, like they've got an absolute undying love for this club. And it's just great that we have communities like that springing up that want to improve standards and want to improve stuff in and around the ground. It's absolutely great.
Definitely. And yeah, as you mentioned, buy yourself a Turnstile Blues, of course, buy yourself a program, because yeah, that'll be a memento that you can keep forever if we do get promoted on Saturday. But yeah, a lot of great interviews, I think, in the Turnstile Blues. I think there's an interview with Mark Stewart, interview with by Matt Maker with Eloise King and her two parents, who go to Lily every game, which is great. The Kings, and then some other great interviews in there as well. So check it out. And they'll be selling, I'm sure, around the ground, maybe in the fan zone, maybe in Greyhound if you go there. I'm sure Greyhound's going to be busy as well, and all the pubs in Ipswich. So enjoy your day, ladies and gentlemen. I think that's it. Nick, James, thanks for joining me.
Should we have a little quick shout out to the sponsors?
Yeah, I was going to do that, James. Okay. I was going to mention quickly, of course, it's not just one game this weekend. It's just Town Women's team are playing on Sunday. Their penultimate home game of the season as they take on Cheltenham Town. Another big game for Town. At Phoenix AJ Arena, 2 p.m. kickoff. So if you want a double header, go to the game on Sunday as well. Should be a nice weather this weekend. So
could be a few sore heads at 2 p.m. on Sunday.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I'm sure. If Saturday goes the way we want it to go, and Nick, James, it's been a pleasure. Safe travels to James flying over. Nick, we'll stay in touch, I'm sure, my friend. Big shout out to our sponsors, Manscaped. Use the code KOA to get 20% off and free delivery for all your stuff that you need to shave, your nose, ears, all that sort of stuff. And then also Ginger Pickle, the goats of marketing. Big shout out to Tony Southgate and the team. Me and Tony are heading to Holland in May for a very secret project, but you'll find out soon because I'll chuck out some pictures of it. But we've got some good plans, so look out for that. Enjoy the weekend, ladies and gentlemen. Have fun. Let's get right into it. Thanks again for listening of another edition of Fan Social. Bye-bye for now.
It's Ryan Seacrest. Life comes at you fast, which is why it's important to find some time to relax. A little you time. Enter Chumba Casino. With no download required, you can jump on anytime, anywhere for the chance to redeem some serious prizes. So treat yourself with Chumba Casino and play over 100 online casino-style games, all for free. Go to ChumbaCasino.com to collect your free welcome bonus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.